All right, it's the bonus hour. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. We bring you today's bonus hour with something of a heavy heart, as we found out about a half hour ago, 35 minutes ago, that comedian, the great comedian Tim Conway, has died at the age of 85. Very, very sad news, Wendy.
I really loved him.
He was lovable. He was insanely lovable. Wasn't he?
And I would have thought he would have been older, because he seemed older when we watched him on Carol Burnett.
Well, for most of us, I think the first time I saw him, and I'm guessing this would be the same with most of us, he was a regular on McHale's Navy, right? So that was in the late 50s or early 60s.
He was on McHale's Navy?
Yeah, he was a regular.
Ernest Borgnine?
Yeah. He was a regular on that. Did a bunch of movie work. Of course, The Apple Dumpling Gang. And The Apple Dumpling Gang Rides
that.
Again with Bill Bixby. But he will always be best known for the Carol Burnett Show. Now, most people would tell you that he was there from the very beginning. He was not. They did several seasons without Tim Conway. And then when they added him to the cast, the show was always good. Carol Burnett Show was good from day one. But adding Tim Conway and his cast of characters to the show made it probably the best sketch comedy show, certainly of its time and maybe of all time.
It was fantastic. 708 has posed a really good question. I wonder if there will be a Dorf on Funerals DVD. Is it too soon?
It's really mean but really funny, so what do you do?
Tim Conway would have laughed at that.
Tim Conway would have laughed at that. I think I've told you this story before. I'm sorry, but I can't remember if I did or not. At another station, he was coming through town because he and Harvey Korman were doing a play together. They did the Sunshine Boys for a while.
Oh, yeah.
So we had Tim on, and I said to him at the end of the interview, now this was over the phone. I was not in studio
over
with
the
him.
Phone?
Over the phone, if you can believe it. So the interview was over, and I said to my producer, can you please ask Mr. Conway if he can hang out for a minute afterwards because there's something I need to ask him. So he said, yeah, sure, he would do it. So we do the interview. It goes well. He was a joy to talk to, just hysterically funny. So then when the interview was over, I said, I'm going to ask you a very personal question. It's just something that I've wondered about since I was a kid. And he goes, sure. And I said, one day I was watching the Dinah Shore Show, and you were a guest on the Dinah Shore Show, and you were destroying. Like, everything you said was just hysterical. Dinah couldn't breathe. She was laughing so hard. I'm watching at home just going, this is what you do when you're on the Dinah Shore Show. You just bring your A game, and you're just killing it. And then Dinah Shore asked you a question about your family, and you got very, very quiet and serious and said, we're having some problems. And Dinah said, is it something you want to talk about? And he said, well, he said, since you asked, I have a son. His son's name is Tim Jr., Tim Conway Jr. He said, and he's got caught up in drugs, and we don't know what to do, and we're trying our best to get him through this.
How raw was that when you heard that?
It was insane, because he was being the Tim Conway that you'd imagine, and then within a matter of seconds, all the air was out of the room, and it was... It was so riveting because I never saw that side of him before. I only saw him be really, really funny, and he looked like he was going to cry. He looked so desperate, and I said, Mr. Conway, I have to be honest, I think about that all the time because for a guy like you who was just so hysterically funny to stop being funny and just be so honest on television, I said, and I've always wondered, did things work out with him? And he laughed, and he goes, thank you so much for remembering that. He said, it was one of the most difficult things I've ever been through with Tim Jr. He said, not only is he okay, he was a radio guy. He became a radio guy in Los Angeles, Tim Conway Jr. He said, not only is he okay, but aside from doing his work on the radio, he also counsels kids. He's made a career out of helping kids that were in his situation and putting them on the right track.
That's amazing. Happy ending.
Oh, so, and you know, I have to be honest, as I was asking that, I thought to myself, there's a very good chance that this answer is not going to be a pleasant
one. He never made it.
We lost him. Yeah. So I was so thrilled that he remembered the incident. The incident was, you know, it took care of itself. Well, it didn't take care of itself.
Well,
but
I'm
sure it was a lot of work. But it was just so, it was so strange to see a guy that we all thought of as just being... nothing but funny, not being funny, just being so honest.
You know what's weird, too, is we didn't know, you know, there were a few tabloids back then, but we didn't know anything really personal about any of our stars.
Right.
We really didn't.
Right.
Now, you know.
Now we know everything about them.
Too much.
Right.
Some stuff right. I don't want to know.
Right.
Tim Conway Jr. is currently on air at KFI AM 640. I don't know where that is.
I think it's in Los Angeles or near Los Angeles, I think. If it's okay with you, at some point, it's too soon now because his dad just died today. But yeah, sometime in the near future, I'd love to have him on. I'd love to hear his story. I'd love to tell him what I just told you and say, this meant so much to your dad. I'm sure he knows that, but...
Yeah, that it might be too soon.
I think he's got a fairly large family, too, if I'm not mistaken. And there was a story not that long ago. There was a story with his wife and one of his daughters were kind of, and this keeps happening with celebrities. This isn't the first time you've heard this story. They're fighting over not just the estate, but the care of, in this case, Tim. But we've heard this with other celebrities where the family is just at each other's throats in their last few days as to who should take charge of that person's health, you know?
Well, there was a fight that happened, what year are we in, 2019?
Mm-hmm.
For some reason, I thought it was 2020.
Next year.
All right. In September of this year, of last year, the 18th.
18.
Yes. Yeah. September of 2018, Tim Conway had brain surgery, and that's when their family started fighting over conservatorship.
Well, they kept saying, and in the story that we're getting today, it says that there wasn't evidence of dementia or of Alzheimer's, but they had kind of made it pretty clear that that's what was keeping him...
Incapacitated, yeah. They said.
Yeah.
Kelly Conway is his daughter, not
Kellyanne Conway.
Whew.
No.
And her stepmother, Charlene Conway, each want sole conservatorship over Tim Conway, who at this point in September of 2018 is almost entirely incapacitated by dementia.
Hmm. You know, it's sad when anybody's suffering from dementia,
right.
But when you think of a guy whose mind was just so incredibly sharp, you know, that makes it somehow even more tragic that it doesn't matter who it affects. It just if it's in you and it's going to get you, it's going to be in you and get you. And that's horrible.
Yeah, but I mean, people who have family members with dementia who weren't very funny or had things to say are going to argue with you because it's just terrible for anyone.
Yeah.
You're right. KFI AM 640. More stimulating talk. In Los Angeles and Orange County.
I've heard he's very good. I've never heard him. I've been out in Los Angeles. I've tried to find him on the airwaves. I've not. But I hear he's very, very good at what he does. So,
you can
yeah,
listen
at
to
some
the
point.
Podcast.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Online.
I can do that. Yeah.
Although I think you should listen to WGN. I hear this Bell Left guy is pretty good.
I don't know who that is. Now, you asked a question that is a great question. Why was it so funny? And it was. It was so funny. When they put him in a scene with Harvey Korman, and he had the ability to make the others laugh too, but the ones that stand out are the ones where it was the two of them, you know, where Tim Conway was the dentist working on Harvey Korman's teeth, or
and Harvey lost it first all the time.
And think about that. Harvey Korman was a really good at what he did. He was usually the straight man. Harvey Korman was usually the straight man on the Carol Burnett Show, but an incredible professional, a former Chicagoan. So what was it about Tim Conway that just could break him to pieces, and why did it mean so much to us? I mentioned that on Saturday Night Live, Lorne Michaels gets furious if that goes on. It's
Pete Davidson or Leslie Jones.
Pete Davidson and Leslie Jones are the... But I got to say, Bill Hader is one of my all-time favorite cast members. He was the easiest to break up. He'll tell you 1,000 stories about times that he just couldn't control himself. He'd be laughing so hard.
And especially when Stefan, he couldn't...
He was on Colbert last night, and you know the move that Stefan had where he would cover his face with his hands?
Right.
He said that was based on him for real, that in
trying
so many
to cover
scenes,
up his...
he'd be laughing and have to cover his face, so they wrote that into Stefan.
Oh, he was so funny, Tim Conway. He built a career playing goofballs who rarely took center stage. Oh, that's right. He was on SpongeBob SquarePants. He did a voice on that. Oh, I forgot about that.
Something Kid, Sponge Kid or something. Does that sound right?
It was a superhero team. The cause was complications from a long illness, according to his representative. So that's what we're getting now.
I'm going to piggyback off of something that I heard yesterday on John Williams' show when they were talking about Doris Day, who we talked about a little bit yesterday, too.
And we have our trilogy, by the way.
Peggy Lipton, Doris Day, Tim Conway.
Yep.
Yeah. So they were saying that, and I think this all the time, too. I don't always verbalize it, but I always think this. And I know the generations are, every generation is different as to what's going on. But they said there is no Doris Day today.
We talked about that.
We don't have, do we?
Yeah. Maybe it was on the stream. I just know we were talking about it because no one's that wholesome anymore.
Boy, that's true. There's got to be somebody, though. I think their answer was Emma Stone, which I'm not sure
she's
I agree with. She's not as
wholesome.
Right. But could somebody, like Georgia Engel, who we lost a month or so ago, also had that same wholesome quality, that innocence, you know, where...
That seemed
that
more fabricated, though. Like, Doris Day seemed
genuine. Yeah.
And I was going to suggest, as I was listening to John Williams, too, Annette Funicello, because she kind of had that, too, but there were some sexy Annette years.
Mm-hmm.
Although, Doris Day was sexy, too. I guess she just wasn't really trying to be. Yeah, she did.
So I guess you have to ask yourself, is being that... that crystal clean, can that be sexy? And for Doris Day, the answer would be yes, right? But is there, like, who would be today's Tim Conway? Good luck trying to find an answer to this, because I don't think, is it me?
Yes.
Good. I'll be happy to carry that mantle. I'd be thrilled to carry the Tim Conway mantle. But just because of who his characters were, nobody comes to mind as being this generation's Tim Conway. I can't think of anybody. There might be somebody, but I can't think of them.
That's so tough.
And why wouldn't there be? You would think there would be a need for that type of character guy, but there really nobody's coming to mind.
Kevin James.
You know?
I'm sorry, that's pretty close.
That's not a bad guess. That's a pretty good, if there has to be somebody who fits that mold.
Like goofy.
Right. So Kevin James, I guess the difference is it's an almost exact opposite body type. Tim Conway was very thin and slight. Kevin James is bigger.
I don't ever imagine Tim Conway being slight.
No?
I always thought, and maybe it was the bald head, I don't know, but he seemed very round to me. Not
really?
Heavy, but I wouldn't have say slight ever.
Oh, that's interesting. When I think of him, I think of him being very thin.
Not me.
No?
Mm-mm.
Huh.
But yeah, Kevin James, you know.
He's in the ballpark.
Just the way I'm not going to looks, really, but, you know, just kind of silly, goofy. I've seen him be serious in a few King of Queens episodes.
Right.
But just goofy.
But who else had the ability he had to go after whoever they were doing a scene with? So I guess if I'm saying it that way, you almost have to look towards Saturday Night Live, because Chris Farley had the ability to know that whoever was on stage with him, it was like a side bet in his head. I'm going to be funny. I'm going to make the scene funny, but I'm also going to make the people who I'm in the scene with laugh, you know? If you watched any time he was on stage with David Spade.
Well, David Spade could not keep himself from laughing.
Right. Or Adam Sandler.
Yeah, they are such good friends. I mean, they were such good friends.
Yeah.
I mean, they would just look at each other and start laughing before even any part of the script was mentioned.
Right.
By the way, Tim Conway, Barnacle Boy.
Barnacle Boy, that was the name of the character.
And then Ernest Borgnine was the captain or whatever that was
with him. So the inside joke on that any kid watching SpongeBob wouldn't get, but their parents or grandparents would get, was that combination of Borgnine and Tim Conway from McHale's Navy. Mm-hmm. Navy, of course, of the sea. Much like SpongeBob, so wow, good for them for going that extra mile.
Barnacle Boy, and what was the Mermaid Man? That's who
that was. Ernest Borgnine's character.
I'm so sorry, I haven't watched SpongeBob in a while.
No, it's been a long time for me too.
Just a year.
Oh, that's been a lot longer for me.
Long.
It's been a lot longer for me.
I still like it. But that's sad. And 85 years old, I mean, I don't know. You start thinking about it, and it's like, I'm sorry. Unless you're like 95 and above, I feel you've been robbed.
Right.
85 is not... No. I was just talking to some of... I got together with girlfriends that I've been friends with since sixth grade and high school. Mm-hmm. And we were all talking, and I'm like, how old is your mom now? And they're like, 88. I'm like, there is no way.
How did that happen so fast?
And like, right. One of the moms still plays tennis every day.
Sure.
I mean, that's the new 88.
So
85, he was robbed.
Don't you give Carol Burnett credit? Like, a lot of people in that position would feel threatened by bringing a cast member on who's got that kind of ability to just shine. Carol Burnett, not afraid. You know, she knew.
Nor should she have been.
No, she shouldn't have been. No, she shouldn't have been at all. But there have been certain stars of shows, like Dick Van Dyke, like Mary Tyler Moore, like Carol Burnett, who understood, even though my name is on it, the end result is we want to make people laugh. So
it only makes
the
best show
people,
better, yeah.
Absolutely. Right. The more great people I can surround myself with, the better we all are. But you also hear stories about other stars who are like, oh, no, I bring that guy on. All the attention's going to be on that guy. I don't need that.
All right. A couple of things that we have talked about. Who is the new wholesome person? Somebody suggesting Meryl Streep. But no, she's not as wholesome. She just isn't.
I don't think
she stands up for things. She's, you know.
I don't think of wholesome when I think of Meryl
Streep.
No.
I think, you know, don't mess with her.
I think of Mamma Mia 3, and I say, when is it going to be? Soon, please.
And, interesting enough, someone who you know is mentioned as being the new Tim Conway, Steve Carell.
Boy, that's not bad. That's not a bad call. I can see that.
Thank you, 708, because I think that's pretty good.
I can see that. At first, you have to really reason it out because Steve is so different, but there is kind of the same base, right? That's not a bad move.
Interesting.
Yeah.
We have smart listeners.
Yeah, very smart. All right. Kim will be by. She'll give you the news, and then there's more show ahead. Stick around.
All right. Kim Gordon is here to do some news. We were just talking off the air about Tim Conway, because I'm telling you, our age group, he just was the best.
Yeah. I was looking for Mrs. Higgins' audio, and I had to stop myself because I can't sit there and watch the whole thing,
right.
But it's just
it's so funny.
Yeah.
He was Mr. Tudwall during the Mrs. Wiggins scenes, and boy, was that good stuff.
So good. And then the dentist scene.
Yes.
The dentist is all-time classic.
Yes, yes, yes. Very sad news. Yeah. Thanks, Kim. We've been spending some time talking about Tim Conway, who, if you're just hearing this, I'm sorry to be the bearer of bad news, but died earlier today at the age of 85. All of us here on the show, and Kim, you're talking about just nothing but loved him and admired him.
He was great. And he just seemed like a very nice person.
Yeah.
He just seemed like a genuine guy.
Yeah, no question about it. I'm pouring through his IMDb page because I was curious to see if he did many dramatic roles over the years. Whenever I think about him, I think about comedy, but I'm guessing at some point he must have done some drama. I always think about like Bob Newhart toward the end of his career. Well, he's still working, but in recent years, he has jumped in and done some very dramatic roles on TV and done a great job with them. I wonder if Tim Conway, I haven't found any yet, but I'm sure it's
Apple Dumpling Gang.
Apple Dumpling Gang with
Bill
Bixby. I love
that
movie.
Wasn't Don Knotts in that also?
Yes.
Yes.
He had the biggest Adam's apple of anyone I've ever seen. Him and Rick Ocasek from The Cars.
I was just listening to the Dave Plyer interview that is on WGNRadio.com. I guess he interviewed Tim Conway in 2013 about his book, What's So Funny.
Oh, yeah.
And the one thing that I didn't know was that the reason he, you know, people, how he started, like, being a comedian and being funny when he was in school in sixth or seventh grade, he said he was dyslexic. So sometimes he was forced to read in front of the class and he would come up with words or words in a sentence that didn't belong.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
so kids laughed and he thought, and so it kind of made him feel good that people were laughing at him and he got... It kind of helped him to put the dyslexia to the side.
So it was
and
a defense
that's,
mechanism.
Was kinda, yeah, that turned into a great thing because they love making people happy because
that's
they
excellent.
Thought he was funny.
Oh, that's excellent. So you mentioned off air, I think, that whenever we think of the Carol Burnett show, you say to yourself, well, Tim Conway was always a part of that show, but it was not that way. He was on the last few seasons
of
it.
He was a guest for every season.
Right. Almost always the last episode of the season. because you know the character that Carol Burnett did where she was the cleaning woman?
Mm-hmm.
Right? So the season would almost always end with the regular sign-off, and then she would do that character, and the soundstage was dark.
Oh,
she'd be cleaning
I remember
up.
That, yeah.
And then they had a cartoon of that also,
yeah,
right?
There was a cartoon of that.
Yes.
But Tim would always be asleep in the audience, and then as she was exiting the theater, she would walk up to him. He was sleeping, and just kiss him on the, on the forehead and then walk out.
I remember that. Right.
What a nice way to end the season. Yeah. Yeah, very, very sad news. I mean, again, one of those people that you know, I mean, like all of us, at some point, we're gonna lose him. But
right.
Even when it happens, you just go, oh, it's so sad.
And apparently he'd been sick for a very long time.
Yep, yep.
Again, 85, you're
right. It's not that old.
I know. I mean, years ago, we'd be like, oh, 85, you lived a rich, full life.
Right. I mean, Doris Day, what? She was 97
yesterday.
I know.
Although he was not doing well, and that makes a difference.
Right.
You know,
they said that he died from water on the brain, but there were reports that he had dementia for a long time or some form of Alzheimer's or something.
Yep. I didn't realize there were this many Dorf videos. I'm looking through all the
I'm sorry,
videos.
But please be honest. That was not very funny.
No, that wasn't that funny. He said that, you know, the dentist scene and the Mr. I was in the Dave Plyer interview. I learned a lot.
Yeah.
That Mr. Tudball was. Yeah. A takeoff from his mother's friends who used to come over. But he didn't know where the Dorf thing came from. Just kind of came. Just kind of came to him.
The most famous one was Dorf on Golf, but he also did Dorf and the Angry Fan, Dorf in the Confession, Dorf in a New Toga, Dorf in the Tea Time, Dorf in the Trial. There's a whole series of them.
He was doing the new podcast, Dorf and Worf, from Star Trek.
You will talk to me now.
A lot of cartoon work. I knew he did some. I had no idea he did as much, but it would take you the rest of the show for me to tell you all the cartoon voices he had done over the years. Some stuff on Scooby-Doo, some stuff on, as we mentioned, SpongeBob, on Garfield, the cartoon of Garfield.
Wasn't he Garfield's voice? Oh, no.
No, he wasn't Garfield's voice.
I seem to remember him having a pretty prominent role though. I don't know.
He was on 30 Rock in the second season, just one episode. The list just goes on and on and on and on of all the things he did over the years.
For a guest appearance on Coach and one other show.
Oh, did he really?
Yeah.
Somebody said Yes, Dear, but I don't recall him being on that show.
He was... I think he did scenes with, you just mentioned Coach, Jerry Van Dyke was on Coach. Mm-hmm. I think for some reason I'm pairing him off with Jerry Van Dyke on Yes, Dear. I could be wrong, but I if I'm thinking of one, I'm thinking of the other together for some reason.
Morph or Dorf? Are you morphing them?
Yeah, I'm morphing them on golf. I'm trying to find, I'm pouring through to see if he did any dramatic work. He was on shows like Seventh Heaven. There's a bunch of shows he did that were more serious shows. So my guess is he may have played a serious character on them.
Somebody said he was Peggy Bundy's dad on Married with Children.
I didn't see enough Married with Children to know. Played himself on the Larry Sanders Show a couple of times.
Really? Do you remember that? Because I saw every Larry Sanders.
I don't remember that either. Here he is. Yeah, on Married with Children, he played a character named Ephraim Wenker, who was a running character for the 95 and 96 seasons. But that was it.
He was on an after-school special. He played a janitor in 1974.
Oh, he did.
Yes, and it just says ABC after school specials.
Here's one I might want to look up later. Dorf's Golf Bible.
Yeah, are you kidding me?
It was a sequel to Dorf on Golf. There's several. For some reason, Dorf lends itself well to the game of golf because there's several titles listed under golfing, and then just a myriad of other ones after that. He was in Cannonball Run 2.
Oh, yeah. I love Cannonball Run.
I love Dom DeLuise.
Yeah.
He showed up on the sequel to Carol Burnett's show. This was a show that didn't last very long. It was called Carol Burnett and Company. But he did make appearances on that. They're showing the cast. Alan Arkin in the cast of that. I didn't remember that. That seems strange to have Alan Arkin in a sketch comedy show. I love Alan Arkin.
Yeah, he's not.
But his tolerance for things is...
He did say in the interview, too, that he didn't think variety shows would work nowadays because they were so expensive to produce once you have the band and the orchestra. But what do you think?
You know, it's really weird. When I watch them now, I'm so nostalgic for them, and I wonder if it's because we lived through them the first time, the first wave. When we were growing up, there was a ton of those shows.
That's what he said. I think he said there were 13 at one time.
Sonny and Cher, I loved that show.
Flip Wilson.
Oh, right? I loved Flip Wilson.
Yeah.
Ed Sullivan.
Well, that was the
first.
That was the first, yeah. Yeah. But wouldn't you say, like, it probably peaked...
Donnie Marie.
Donnie and Marie. And there was a time with Sonny and Cher when they split up that they gave them each their own.
It was almost our generation's reality show, you know?
Yeah.
In a way, because that's everybody had one, you know, and everybody watched different ones. And
the weirdest one I remember was one called Mel and Susan Together.
Oh, you talked about this.
Is that Mel Tillis?
It was Mel Tillis and Susan Anton.
Oh,
and they had nothing at all in common, but they put them together on a show. And when you watched it, you went, I don't understand.
I mean, I guess you could call Hee Haw a variety show.
I loved
Hee Haw. Pickin' and Grinnin'.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. You got to love some Pickin' and Grinnin'.
But I lived in a bigger city than you.
Right.
I really loved it.
Samples. Oh, my gosh. Hey, Grandpa, what's for supper?
Yeah.
Buck Owens, Roy Clark, just great. They were so talented, too. Hattie!
You got to mention Lulu Roman, Wendy. You have to mention Lulu Roman.
I don't.
You don't? Glenn Campbell had a variety show for quite a while that was pretty good. Mac Davis.
I remember that as well.
That was a pretty interesting show.
Oh, yeah.
Sometimes, like with the people I just mentioned, although Glenn Campbell could pull it off, Mac Davis not as much. They were good singers, but then when you put them in sketch comedy with other TV stars of the day, it kind of left you a little empty.
Maybe we should give up on... seating our Hollywood squares and bring back a variety show.
A variety show.
Although, who would be your host? You know, who'd be...
Carrie Underwood?
No.
She'd be okay.
She doesn't appeal to me.
Taylor Swift?
Nah.
No? You wouldn't give it to her?
Kelly Clarkson? I mean,
do love her, man.
Two of the three Jonas Brothers?
I gotta confess something. I've never been a Jonas Brothers fan, and they were on SNL this weekend, and I did not fast forward. Typically, I fast forward.
No, they're pretty good.
They are. I mean, it's not like my cup of tea. I'll never go see them in concert, and I will not buy anything that they have. But it was very pleasant.
Wasn't it strange, though? I don't remember if it was their first song or their second song. The set was decorated with all party balloons.
Yeah.
Because if I was them, I would want to establish myself, hey, we're not bubblegum rock anymore.
Right.
We're a little bit older. We're past that.
And a helium shortage.
And there's a serious helium shortage.
It's happened to me twice at Party City, just by the way. It is true.
We talked about it at the beginning of the show. Kim, until yesterday, if somebody said to me, is there a helium shortage, I would have laughed and go, no, there's never going to be a helium shortage. We've got a billion square feet of helium. What are you talking about? But it's serious.
I walked into Party City the first time they told me this. I just looked at the guy. I said, are you serious?
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
They're all closing now because of that.
It's happened to me twice. I've tried to order balloons twice.
Do you know, they showed yesterday on the Channel 9 News that per balloon, their asking price was $9.99, $10
per
balloon.
That's Mylar. That's not some little rubber latex one.
Oh,
though.
Is it? Oh, I didn't know.
That's a fancy one.
The price is dramatically different between...
Oh, they're 99 cents for a latex one.
Okay. That's not bad. That's still affordable.
Yeah.
But what's going to happen to the beginning of the movie Up, where the house goes up on the balloons... They're going to have to cut that scene out.
Something's going to happen.
The Starland Vocal Band had a show.
They had a show.
Sky Rockets in Flight. Afternoon Delight. The Brady Bunch Variety Hour.
Which, by the way, was so god-awful.
Horrible, but I loved it.
Awful. I watched it every week. Yeah. And it was every week it was worse than the week before.
Mary Tyler Moore had their own variety.
You know who was on that show?
Rhoda.
No. Two regulars in the cast went on
Phyllis.
Bigger and better things. No, they were on the Mary Tyler Moore show.
Oh, okay.
But on the variety show.
She wore a lot of pantsuits, didn't she? I seem to remember
that. She wore, depending on what the scenes were, but two people that were not famous when they were cast on the show, actually three. There were three people that were not famous when they were cast on the show that became very, very famous.
Sarah Purcell.
No. That was real people.
Mm.
She had, all right, so the premise of the show was, it was a variety show.
I
saw it. Did you look it up? So Mary Tyler Moore was the hostess of the show, and then she had a cast of, I think, 7 or 8 supporting players who at the beginning, middle, and end of the show would do a song with her.
She sang?
Yeah, she was actually a pretty decent singer.
I know.
But then they were also, they would do sketch comedy and scenes.
You're going to die when you hear these two people.
There's 3.
Oh, I only have 2, I think.
All right, one of them, this one not as famous, but still notable, Swoosie Kurtz.
Oh, yeah.
Who was in Sisters and been in a bunch of TV shows and movies over the years. I'm trying to think if I should give a clue or not. You already know, right, Wendy?
I know 2.
All right. Michael Keaton.
What? Yeah, isn't that weird?
Who was not famous at the time. And then in one of the most awkward portrayals you will ever see on television, David Letterman.
There's a picture of him.
Who was not famous at all at the time. It was his first TV job. His first, he was a weather guy in Indianapolis or Indiana. But this was his first network TV job. When you see him on this, it's so hysterical because he's doing songs and dances and he doesn't sing and he doesn't dance.
That's hilarious. So why would they even bring him on then?
They got him on because he was really funny. So for the sketch scenes, he was great. Okay.
MeTV has put together a little synopsis of some of our favorite variety shows, and it says, it pains us to put Mary Tyler Moore on the same list as the Starland Vocal Band, but we must. After conquering the sitcom world with her TV series, Moore decided to take on the variety world with Mary. Despite the talents of up-and-coming performers Michael Keaton and David Letterman, the show only ran for a mere 3 episodes.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
That didn't deter Moore, who returned with another variety show later in the season. That didn't fare too well either.
It really, you know, because you loved her, you'd watch it,
right?
But it was painful, you know, because you go, how can she be so good? And the cast, even though I mean the sketches were you just go, how could this be so horrible, because she's so great.
You know, it like takes me back whenever I think of a variety show. I think of like either how they always had those sliding doors that opened the back, because they appeared like they were humongous doors or humongous like stage curtain.
Right.
You know, it
right.
gave that appearance. Yeah. It may not have been, but there was something about that. Yeah.
Jerry Lewis had one for a while, a variety show.
I'm sure that was hysterical.
The running joke on that one was, behind Jerry Lewis, his name was spelled out in giant letters. And every week they would mix up the letters, like it would say J-R-E-R-Y, and he would come out, and then he would look behind him, and he'd get furious.
That is so dope.
That was a joke every week. Wait, this wasn't funny the first time, and not the second time or the third time. This is the
11th. No matter how you spell it, it's not funny.
Never going to end up funny.
We're forgetting a big one.
Who did this? Who did this?
We're forgetting a Dean Martin show.
Dean Martin, sure.
I had the biggest crush in the world on him.
He was just smooth.
Totally.
So smooth. Who else would have been on that? Dom DeLuise was on that. He did those barbershop scenes on there.
Who are you talking about?
On Dean Martin's show, on his variety show.
I don't remember that.
It was a running bit, like toward the end of the show. He also did the Gold Diggers were on there.
Yeah, I remember them.
That was the in-house dancers, the Gold Diggers. They wore a lot of glitter. And a lot of gold.
Yeah, I mean, it was gold spangly outfits, really.
But one of the running gags was, it was a barber shop, and Dom DeLuise was a barber, and I think George Wallace was the other barber. That's the one that seems to hit home. So Dean would be getting a haircut in one scene, and the other co-star in the other scene, and it was just barbershop chat, you know?
Well, look at Barbershop. The movie came out after that.
Yeah.
It says here that was Tom Bosley on the Dean Martin show at all?
I don't know.
Or Foster Brooks?
Foster Brooks was a frequent like a guest star.
Yeah.
And I think Tom Bosley might have been too. I don't remember them being regulars, but I think they were like in that rotating stable of guest stars.
God, Dean Martin was so handsome.
Yeah. A lot of smoking, too, on the show.
Oh, yeah. And martinis.
Yeah,
right?
But it turns out he wasn't a drinker, huh? That's
a big drinker
weird
at all.
To me. Wait, not a big drinker and the martini? Or a fake drinker?
From what I've read, he would drink casually every now and then, but the image of him always being drunk, because they even said on the show, look at him, he's on the show, he's hosting a show, and he's out of his mind drunk. No, not at all. Just an act.
Like Foster Brooks.
Yeah. Yeah. And Foster Brooks, like toward the end of his life, he went and spoke at schools about the dangers of drinking
and
driving.
He's from Louisville.
Yeah, he is, right?
Yeah.
I remember this now. There was basic structure to the Dean Martin show after the opening bars of Everybody Loves Somebody Sometime.
My grandfather used to sing.
Martin would stumble down a flight of steps,
yes,
eventually switching to sliding down a fireman's pole and sing a bouncy pop standard, tell a few jokes, and then, what a great way to start the show!
So maybe, like, when you ask, could they still do shows like that? That stuff was so hokey. We bought it.
Right.
But I think now people will go, wait, I don't understand.
Wait, did Sammy Davis Jr. have ever
Yeah, I think
yeah,
he did.
Sammy and Company.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Syndicated. Yeah, that was a syndicated show for a while.
I watched that.
Yeah.
Me too. I loved him.
Yeah.
I was always infatuated with the fact that he had a glass eyeball.
Yeah.
I was too. I don't know why.
I don't know either, but that was...
I was fascinated by it.
And that he converted to being Jewish. That always, like, excited me.
Right. And a weird relationship with the other Rat Packers, because now when you watch that footage, much of their show, when he would go out on the road with Frank and Dean and Joey Bishop and sometimes Peter Lawford, they were really... It was offensive.
Yeah.
But... Because, again, like so many things that we've talked about, it was a different time. It was more acceptable. But for one of them to lift him up and say, I accept this NAACP award on behalf of, like at the time, it brought the house down. But
right.
If somebody did that exact same joke now, you'd go, oh, no.
Oh, no. Well, he was
that.
So tiny, too. It's not like they're lifting up Rosie
right.
Greer or something.
But they always talk about, like in any books about him in that era, how he felt... A combination of demeaned by that, but also so proud to be in with those guys.
It was a tough, it was a tough time because he wanted the attention,
right?
But then, in his heart of hearts, he probably was
right.
thinking, "This ain't cool,"
right?
You know.
He also, do you know the actress Mae Britt? Do you know who that is? She's a Scandinavian actress. He fell in love with her and married her, and that caused all kinds of turmoil because at the time it was like 1962 or 1963. America wasn't quite ready for that.
Well, Peggy Lipton was talking about that, too, when she married Quincy Jones. It was kind of one of those things where just, you know, to get back at her parents, and it was the hippie movement, and it's like, I'm going to do what I want.
Yeah.
And they had a lot of problems being an interracial couple back then.
Yeah.
And they were married for, like, what, 12 years or something?
I don't know exactly how long, but yeah. And is he quite a bit older than her? Is he 20 years older? Does that sound right? Yeah. Hmm. All right, we have to say goodbye. Kim, thank you very much for hanging out.
I'm sick of saying goodbye to people.
I was just telling
Bill, you know.
It happens in threes, guys.
Well, we hit our three.
So now we're celebrities, you're safe now.
So it should be okay
famous
for a while.
Have died.
Yeah, but guys, like there are so many more entertainers now. And when you throw in like Luke Perry and people who are young and shouldn't be dying, I feel like we're going to have our three like every other week.
Oh.
This is not fun anymore.
That's not the case. All right.
But Tim Conway was a true American icon. Thank you
for bringing it back.
He will be so greatly missed. Kim, thanks for hanging out. Wendy and I will close things off next. Stick around. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.
All right. We have been Rickrolled, so we got to get out of here.
John Williams is in studio. He is taking over for us. John, how are you?
Have you guys? I'm good. Thanks for asking, Bill. Have you guys talked much about the scooters, electric scooters?
Mm-mm. No.
Not at all. They're coming to Chicago next month.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to put 3,000 of them on the streets.
And aren't they going to cost more because of the tariffs? Scooters were on your list yesterday of a million
things. Oh, that's right. They were.
Mm-hmm.
But these are the rental ones, you know, like Divi. So we're going to talk to some people, and it's either L.A. or San Francisco where they've been riding them.
And
so,
all the same rules as Divi bikes? Just pick them up where you need them?
Yeah.
Where you need them?
Kind of, yeah. Although there's no bike stands for them. You just lay them on the ground.
Oh.
So the phrase or word that you see over and over again, I've read like 5 articles from different reviewers in the West, is littered.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
They litter the sidewalks.
Kids already do this in the suburbs. They just drop them and walk on, you know, if they're outside of Starbucks or something.
Oh, but it's their own personal scooter you're
right.
talking about.
Now it's just going to be all over. It's too crowded. Scooters, Divi bikes.
And you're supposed to wear a helmet, but nobody does.
Yeah.
And you don't have you don't walk around with a helmet. You go, I think I'll take this little scooter. So you are always going to be riding it without a helmet, pretty much. I mean, a lot of people are.
Yeah.
And they're going 15 miles an hour, and they'll be doing it in traffic. But everybody that rides them just says it's a blast.
I'm sure of it. Yeah.
So we're going to talk a little bit about the pros and cons of that today.
Excellent.